Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke off of the people of God. And we enter into partnership with you this morning to advance in a culture that seems addicted to dishonor. Lord, we advance the kingdom of God, which is full of honor, honoring the Lord for who you are, and then, Lord, honor for one another. And that we're reminded biblically how we're to treat each other. I thank you for that, Father, and that we will be the embodiment of that prayer. We will be that word of honor made flesh in all of our speaking, in all of our social media interaction, in all of our goings, Lord. We will be the embodiment of what it is to love others just like you love us. We are not retreating. We do not stand back. This is not a defensive posture. But Lord, may we be a model of what it is to walk in honor and humility and reconciliation and trust and unity with each other and with others. And we call this done. We enter into it in the mighty anointed name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and let's hold them up, the sword of the Spirit here, and say this together. We are disciples and ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are who he says we are. We can do what he says we can do. We gladly give everything to follow him. Now, I thought that was pretty weak, so can we do it again? And if you're not doing it, I ask you to examine your own heart. I'm not trying to manipulate you with this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So that's why we speak these things all in unison together. I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you. I'm not trying to dominate you, manipulate you, or control you. I'm inviting you to let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So let's start with letter A. We are who he says we are. We can do what he says we can do, and we gladly give everything to follow him. Amen. We're going to begin a brand new series this morning on pathways to partnership. As the Lord was giving us the goals for 2020, my prayer is that you remember that this was one of the goals, building a culture of honor here at Grace Church. And the Lord gave us five core tenets, which I don't see on the slide, so I'm going to give them to you because I got them right here. Number one is honor, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. The second one is humility, James chapter 4, verse 6. The third one is trust, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. The fourth one is the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, and hearts for reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. How many of you know in relationships, you want one more time? All right. In relationships, not everything always goes well. There can be some bumps in the road. So what you want is to have a heart towards reconciliation when you experience bumps in the road or disagreements and those things. So one more time, honor, humility, trust, unity of the Spirit, and hearts for reconciliation. Honor, humility, trust, unity of the Spirit, and hearts for reconciliation. These were the five core tenets the Lord gave us to govern all of our leadership teams here at Grace Church. Okay, elders, board of directors, staff, even the church body, to be governed by these five core tenets that we become these made flesh. They'll even work in your marriage. Any kind of relationship you have, these five will work and will bless and will benefit that partnership. Maybe it's in business where you, if you own your own business, you can encourage your staff there to implement honor towards each other, humility, be humble towards each other. Don't be a know-it-all. Amen. Hearts for reconciliation, trust, and the unity of the Spirit. So they'll work on any level of relationship, our family, our marriages, our businesses, any type of partnership. Certainly, Grace Church is a partnership. It's these five that the Lord said will build a culture of honor in a world free falling deeper and deeper into a culture of dishonor, division, and strife that devalues people and their opinions. I don't know if you're paying attention, but there's an insidious spirit at work here in America that is designed to pit us against each other. To constantly be arguing, constantly be trying to prove ourselves right, all the while only God knows what's really going on behind the scenes. Don't be a fool. Understand what is really happening within this country. And we are not a people of dishonor. We are not a people of dissension. We are not people who have a history of out-arguing pagans. We out-love them. We out-care them. We out-grace them. We out-mercy them. These are the weapons of our warfare. Amen, somebody. I've said this before, under the Spirit of the Lord, we're living in a blizzard of confusion. If you're watching the news, I would even say, why? Why? If you think you're getting truth and not propaganda from one side or the other, you've missed the last year or two. And it's an election year. Understand what's going on. There's a tremendous grasp for power. But the power of the love of God will always defeat the love of power. Amen. Always. And so, I don't even remember my thought there. I was going somewhere with that. It's a culture that's free falling into dishonor, division, and strife. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's a blizzard. It's a blizzard of confusion, distraction, and chaos. They want everybody unsettled. That's why worship is crucial right now. Because we become like that which we behold. You're a branch. Okay? You're deriving from a source, a vine of some kind, your expression. And if all you do is pipe in fear and anxiety and statistics from the world, I hate to tell you this, but everything on television is not coming from the Spirit of God. Amen, that's right. I haven't seen many news anchors citing Scripture. Come on, amen? So you're a branch. You're deriving from a source. And the more you take in that source, the more you manifest. If you're just piping fear and anxiety to yourself, that's what you're going to be living in. You'll be stressed out all the time. You're not the sun. You're the moon. There already is a sun. You're the moon. So you reflect. You receive the sunlight from Jesus and you reflect Him. You don't generate your own light. You're a derivative being. So like we said last week, where are your eyes, your ears, and your heart? Jesus said, Matthew 13:15, there's three modes of receiving as a human being. So lock eyes with Him. Set your ears attuned to Him. And let Him and His Word grow in the soil of your heart. Somebody say amen to all that. So the culture is moving towards dishonor, division, and strife, and the devaluing of people and their opinions. The God of this world is building a culture of death, darkness, and hate all around us, right in front of us. It's not even hidden anymore. So guess what Jesus is building in the midst of that? A culture of life, light, and love. Not death, darkness, and hate. Life, light, and love. And we're to be a counterculture. Everybody say counterculture. The church is not to be a subculture pushed over into the corner somewhere trying to carve out a little space. We are a counterculture to the kingdoms of this world. And the kingdoms of this world are really ugly right now. And we need to be praying and we need to be praising and we need to be beseeching the Lord because November is not even here yet. Thank God the real hope for America is not a president or a political party. It is the kingdom of God manifesting in the hearts of His people. That's the hope of America. I pray you believe that. I pray you understand that. Yes, pray for the elections. Yes, but I'm telling you the real hope for America is the government of God, not the government of man. Amen. So the Lord's building a culture of life, light, and love so that we can be a counterculture, literally the kingdom of heaven manifesting in the midst of great darkness. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. The Lord says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Everybody say he's talking about me. He is. He's talking about you. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Deep darkness shall cover people. How many of you know that's going on right now? But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Amen. Receive it and be it. It's yours. The light's already come. His name is Jesus. And he's inside you. We're not called to gripe in this hour. We're called to shine in the name of Jesus. That's our responsibility. Let's shine in the midst of what's going on. And I'm telling you, be encouraged. Light shines even brighter with all the darkness going on. People will be like, what's up with you? I want what you have. And you'll say, you want who I have. This word glory means honor. The honor of the Lord will be seen upon you. We are not those who crawl down into the dust realm and the mud and the mudslinging and the muck and the mire. We are not those people. We are people of honor who understand the value of a human life. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. And do you get mad? Sure, I get mad. But my warfare is not with human beings. We don't war with flesh and blood. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, puppeteers who puppet string human beings who are deceived like you and I used to be deceived. Amen. This word glory means honor. So the honor of the Lord himself will be seen upon you in this hour. It also means wealth. The wealth, the abundance of the Lord will be seen upon you in this hour. Amen. And I promise you, he's not just talking about $100 bills. Jesus called them true riches, things worth far more than money, unconditional love, peace that passes all human understanding when your head hits the pillow at night. Amen. There are many Americans who would give top dollar to have peace that surpasses human understanding and that surpasses their circumstances. His glory is going to be seen upon you in this hour. It's wealth, it's honor, it's abundance. The abundance of the Lord will be seen upon you. Why? Because there's rivers of living water inside you. There's a lot going on in the world, but we are here to shine. We are here to shine in this hour. And by shining, we're going to do people right and not wrong. Amen. I don't care how ugly they are. We're going to do people right, not wrong. We're not going to curse people. We're going to bless people. Amen. And we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. Amen. We're going to walk in the light as he is in the light. What a time to be alive. Right, Michael? We were talking about this before. What a time to be alive right now in America. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Isn't that why Jesus died? To put his life and his light and his love on the inside of you for moments like these. Don't be drawn in. Don't be suckered. It's like a magnet that lures you to argue, to go into strife, to go into division, and who's right and who's wrong. More on that later. But I've been saying for a while now, light and darkness are growing up together. That's what you see in Isaiah 60. Darkness is manifesting. Okay? But so is light. They're growing up together. Wheat and tares into the age. They're growing up together right now. So the darkness is getting darker and more bold. I've noticed that. But the light is getting lighter. The light is getting stronger. We are not of those who draw back. Don't cast away your confidence. We are not of those who draw back, but believe to the saving of the soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions continually given to the Lord. I'm so excited that we've continued our outreaches, even with COVID and the different things going on. The flower bed, which was mentioned. Sowing $500 into Choctaw Road across the street, providing thermometers for NPI, the local school that we've adopted. And you know what's great is more than us just being light to them. Let me tell you what's happening. We are encouraging the light in those schools. There's light in those schools. The principal of NPI loves God. She loves Jesus. And when we go and serve and we go and we give and we supply generously things that they need, it encourages the light that's in that school every day. We're not going to be there every day, but they are, and they're our brothers and sisters. So it's a kingdom partnership. Does that make sense? It's not all about us shining His light. Let the light be catalytic. We've been given that word so many times that our faith here is catalytic. Our worship here is catalytic. Shine in the name of Jesus. Come on, give Him praise in this house. We gotta shine right now. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord to us. If we're not careful, we can be lured into divisive arguing and being negative all the time and all this and that that's going on. But there's plenty of good works going on, church. God is at work and we're partnering with Him. Keep your eyes on Him. I beg you to limit your television and social media interaction. I beg you to limit it unless it's all godly. Amen. We have to be wise. We have to understand what the will of the Lord is. And, you know, I was thinking about this week. I don't know that as Christians in this country, we've really been tested yet. What if this is just a little bit of tribulation? I mean, it's not like we're being arrested yet or thrown to the lions yet or burned at the stake yet. Boiled alive. We don't really know persecution. So what are you saying, Brother Steve? I'm saying let's pass the test. And shine in the midst of what's going on. Let's pass the test. Let's be found faithful. F-U-L-L. Faithful in the midst of it. It could be preparation for worse things coming down the pike. It could be. But we're not backing up. Everybody say, let's shine. That's what we're going to do. We're going to shine because our light has already come. His name is Jesus. We've, more than being persecuted, we've been inconvenienced. Amen. They've tried to silence us a time or two over the years. I remember that. With COVID, we can't go out as much. We can't gather as much. We got tape on our pews or whatever. But we're not truly being persecuted. Don't be distracted by all that. Man, lock in. It's a great time to be alive. I want to see us shine with His glory and His honor and His abundance. What I didn't see in these five core tenets of honor, humility, reconciliation, unity, and trust, what I didn't see is these are the antidote to what has poisoned our country. The Lord told me Beelzebub has been at work and built a stronghold, literally a fortress, inside the death and decay and division and deception that's going on every day in our country. And when you hear a word in your spirit, Beelzebub, I decided, all right, I've heard that before. It's one of the names they called Jesus when He was casting out demons. They said He cast them out by Beelzebub. Beelzebub is rooted in Baal, B-A-A-L. Beelzebub, B-E-E-L. So Baal from the Old Testament, it's rooted in that. It's basically the Lord of the Flies. It's another name for Satan. The great deceiver and antagonizer. So what do you know about flies? Here's what I know, is they reproduce in death. They reproduce in decay. They look for bodies that are decaying so they can reproduce. And I'm telling you, we got to get this country off of life support. Amen. And we got to be the answer to our own prayers. Because I'm not saying, let's go run out and say, man, everybody, you guys need to start being light. No, be light. Be light. Be what we're saying. Be the embodiment of hope in this hour. New York Times writer Tim Kreider coined the phrase outrage porn. This is a new phrase. Coined by a writer, Tim Kreider, in the New York Times. Outrage porn is sweeping America, he says. It's people obsessing with being right or being wronged. Not wrong, because they're never wrong. But being wronged, injustice. Somebody's done something to me by God, and I want revenge. I want restitution. Revenge will never satisfy you, ever. Only forgiveness will. Only the DNA of God and participating with his divine nature will. He says it's an insatiable appetite for things to be offended by and to argue about. This is the work of the Lord of the Flies right here. I'm just pulling back the curtain so you can see it. We war not with flesh and blood. Do not be ignorant of what is happening. This is an insidious spirit sent to destroy this nation and destroy the church. It's an insatiable appetite and search for things to be offended by and to argue about. He calls it a real and true emerging addiction in the American culture and in social media. Based on hundreds of comments and letters to the editor, Kreider says, many Americans feed off the feeling of being right or being wronged. Now listen to this. He says, outrage porn resembles actual porn in that it aims for a cheap, temporary thrill at the expense of another person, but without any personal accountability or commitment to that person. So we jump on social media, we attack somebody, their opinion, to gain our own appetite, to get our fix for being right, or standing up for how right we are in our opinion, and we give not 2 cents about the person we're accosting. We, for all we know, we're 1,000 miles away from them, we'll never see them again. Who cares if we hurt them? Who cares? That's the enemy. He says sometimes people's lives and careers and entire families are ruined through what he calls, quote, mob shaming. When a group of people pile on to somebody's wrong opinion, you believe what? They said what? And he said, what's sad is the people who make up the mob will never even think about that person whose life they've ruined. They never even think about it again. Outrage porn is not new. How many of you know there's nothing new under the sun? We saw it in the Pharisees. Pharisees did it all the time. Luke 18:9, Jesus told a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. What's the fruit of self-righteousness? In other words, that you're validated because of your amazing opinions. What's the fruit of that? Despising other people. You're better than everybody else. You're smarter. You got it going on. It's the Pharisees who use their knowledge of God to look down on everybody else. If you'll remember the parable, Jesus said, two guys went to the temple. One said, God, I thank you. I'm not like that guy. That was his prayer. And it says he prayed to himself. Why wouldn't he? He's God. In his own mind. The other guy beat his breast. He wouldn't even look towards heaven and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I need you. Amen. So we've seen this before. How about Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. Simon the Pharisee. You remember the woman who came and poured all the perfume on Jesus. She actually cried on his feet, dried his feet with her hair. And Simon said she was a well-known sinner. She was a sinner. And that if Jesus was who he said he was, he would know that he shouldn't keep company with this sinner. So in his mind, this self-righteous mind, she's not a person, she's a thing. This is what's happening in our country. We're not dealing with people. We're just slinging different opinions. Not a person, but a thing. She was not a woman. She was an animal in his mind. She's not the image of God. She's subhuman trash. And so we have to wake up and not be participators with the death, the culture of death, darkness, and hatred that's going on in this country. We represent a culture of life, light, and love. Well, it's quiet in this full gospel church. America and the world has been deceived, exchanging any thought of a culture of honor for a culture that places a premium on dishonoring other people and devaluing them. And our first step back is acknowledging we've been lured into a culture of death. We have to realize that offense and being offended all the time is a trap. That the enemy's trying to lure you in. The Greek word for offense is skandalon. Scandal. It literally means a trap. The enemy sets bait for you. No one can make you offended. They don't have that power. You have to choose to be offended. And we've got the power, right? Arise, shine. Your light has come. You have the power to walk peaceably with people. We'll talk about that next week. Let me give you some scripture here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, New Living Translation. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Those sound good. Amen? Pursue those. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Verse 23, again I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. Come on, Holy Ghost. A servant of the Lord. How many of you know that's us? A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. We need a series called How to Deal with Difficult People. And we need to know that we sometimes are the difficult people. Right? That could be us. Self-righteousness would say, oh yes, Steve, there's a lot of difficult people in my life. I really need to know how to deal with them. Oh goodness. That's the beauty of hanging out with Jesus, because the more you sit with the Lord, the more you realize you're not Him. And He's the standard of righteousness. He is. And if He's the standard of righteousness and holiness, then that puts all the rest of us in the same boat now, doesn't it? We all need Him. Look at verse 25. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change their hearts and they'll learn the truth. And then they'll come to their senses and escape from what? The devil's trap. For they've been held captive by him to do what he wants. What does he want to do? Divide. Dissension. Strife, chaos, and confusion. We know that confusion is not of the Lord. That's in Scripture. We know that. And yet it's a very confusing time. Why? Because we pipe too much information from a secular world into our being. You're not going to get truth from the world right now. Maybe in December. Maybe when the election is over, people will get back, quit jockeying for their position. I don't know. Maybe not. But if you want truth, man, sit with the Lord. Amen. And let Him work on who you are. Let me show you the Amplified Version, same passage. Did it change or no? Okay. I'm having trouble with it. It's locking up on me for some reason. If we can go to slide 12. In the back. Slide 12. Thank you so much. Okay, Amplified. But refuse. Shut your mind against. Have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questions. For you know they foster strife and breed quarrels. All right, and then the next one. And a servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. We are not fighting. We are not contending. Think about it. Everybody who's jockeying for power and authority in America is only doing it because they don't think they have any. You do have power and authority. You already have it in Christ. That's a man-made structure. It doesn't matter who's ruling that. There's one Almighty and there's one sovereign God. Amen. And we're in partnership with Him. Amen, somebody. So instead, the servant of the Lord must be kindly to everyone, mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. Well, we don't like that one. Anyway, the bottom line on that one is the devil uses traps to lure us and entice us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Message Bible. So if you forgive him, talking about somebody in the body that had stumbled, I forgive him. Don't think I'm carrying around a list of personal grudges. The fact is that I'm joining in with your forgiveness. As Christ is with us, he's guiding us. After all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. So Beelzebub loves unforgiveness. He reproduces in hatred. He reproduces in strife and dissension. But Paul's saying here, don't give the devil an opportunity. Let's forgive. One more, look at this one. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, amplified. See to it that no one carries you off. Literally, the translation is spoils you. Don't let someone spoil you or make yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, his idle fancies and plain nonsense that follow what? Human tradition, a man's secular worldview. Men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Just crude notions following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. Let me see if that's all of that one. Nope. For in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full. Everybody say full. And having come to the fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. Don't shout me down right here. You are filled with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, people. Reaching full spiritual stature. And he's the head of all rule and authority, every angelic principality and power. Woo! Well, I beg you, go home and digest these scriptures. Just break them down. Just eat them up. Just whatever you got to do, identify yourself with what he's saying here. If you're going after something, you just told yourself you don't have something. Now look at Jesus. He's the model. In John 12, he said, you know, he met with a lot of opposition. Can I get a witness on that? He said, if you all don't believe me, I don't judge you. Because in the end, the truth will judge you. If you're on the side of the truth, if you're on the side of real authority and power, you're not jockeying for anything in this world. The spirit realm, where your Father's throne is established, Psalm 119, that's where real power and authority comes from. Don't dive into the mud. Don't get down there and all that. Stay up here, full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Be kindly, be gentle, be caring. Why? So that they may come to the knowledge of the truth, that they would be delivered from the devil's scheme. The devil's scheme is that we argue. The devil's scheme is that we yell, and we call each other names, and we curse each other when we ought to be blessing people as the saints of the Most High God. Amen, somebody? Amen. Our call is to shine in this hour. Our call is to shine in this hour. To replace dishonor with honor. Self-righteous pride with humility. Divisiveness with unity. How about replacing quarrels and arguments with being quick to forgive and slow to speak? Amen. Let's displace fear and anger with faith and brotherly affection. Amen. What if instead of offering condemnation to people on social media, we offer comfort? Instead of offering unforgiveness, we offer forgiveness. What if instead of looking for people to curse, we start looking for people to bless? Just take the initiative. Don't even wait for an argument to start and then jump in, try to repair it. Start sowing goodwill. Start sowing faith and brotherly affection. What if instead of naming people according to their worst mistake and their worst traits, we name them according to their best traits and their most God-reflecting traits that we see in their life? Why don't we show them there's a better way? Not preach to them. Show them there's a better way. So instead of naming people according to their worst behavior, we can start naming them according to who God says they are. Who knows better than us that God calls those things that be not as though they were? Amen, somebody. And then look at Isaiah 62, verse 1 through 4. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, says the Lord, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. See, we have precedents. We learned how to identify people by their better traits from our Father. All right, let me find the rest of it. There it is. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem, the hand of your God. You shall no longer be called forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you and your land shall be married. How about that? So your new name, you ready? Means my delight. Your new name means married to the Lord. So we learn that from him. Remember, it's his glory and his honor that's seen on us. It's not us working it up. It's his glory. It's his honor, his light that's seen upon us. It's who he says we are. He has named us. He has named us. And not we ourselves, not our own works or any of those things. You say, well, Brother Steve, what happens though if something comes across my social media feed about someone that's true? It's true. It's not rumor. They really did it and it was really bad. Well, you have a choice. You can cover them like God did us in the Garden of Eden and like Shem and Japheth did for Noah in his drunkenness and his nakedness. Or you can expose them like Ham did to Noah. And then I'll ask you which of them was blessed and which one was cursed. Ham was cursed. The other two were blessed by God. So if it's true, you can cover them. You can offer comfort. You can be somebody they can lean in to get healed and get recovered and find out what the root of that behavior was. Amen.
Amen.
Or you can try to blow up your social media page and expose them. But you know, the thing I've learned about Jesus all these years is that he never went around exposing sin. He went around expelling it. There's a big difference. Big difference. If there was ever sin exposed before him, and the Pharisees like to do it, woman caught in adultery, they're there to expose her. He's there to expel it. That's what we're there for, is to be a blessing. Will you stand with me? Oh, Gabe, you guys can come. Matt. What's the word of the Lord to us? Shine. Let's shine. And I think a word of caution. To be wise and understand what's really going on. Do not. It's like a magnet that lures you. Do not be drawn into all the quarrelsome, divisive arguments and all those things. And listen, if you're hanging your hopes on the presidential election, I'm praying for you. Your hope needs to be in the one true God, who regardless of what man does, ultimately God is supreme and sovereign. And we're going to partner with him. I thought it was funny. Mark Twain said, everybody know who Mark Twain is? He said, you know, if voting really mattered, they wouldn't let us do it. I thought, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Listen, let's take a few minutes. I'm going to repent. I'm going to just spend time with the Lord the next 60 seconds, next 120 seconds. I want my heart to be right in this culture, and I want my hope fashioned on Jesus Christ. Do we vote? Yes. Do we care about the election? Yes. But our hope is not resting in politicians. I promise you that. It is the government of God living intimately and triumphantly by the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of his people. That's how we create a culture of honor that defeats a culture of dishonor. So, Father, we come to you this morning. Let's just open our hearts, church. Let's spend some time in prayer. Lord, we open our hearts to you, open our minds to you. And we want to repent where you ask us to repent. Yeah. Psalm 139, 23, right now, church. Search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. If there's a crooked way in me, would you show it to me and lead me in your way instead? Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.